one that comes up every Friday night, what they call the early Shabbos, or maybe it's a misnomer. I don't know if it's early, if it's late, but the issue of bringing in Shabbos early, and also does it apply to Yontif? Like Shavuos, we didn't bring it in early, at least the first night we didn't.
The second night we brought it in at
two different times.
Which is a separate dispute.
Yeah.
Which is a separate chair about bringing in early Yontif Sheni.
So the answer, if I remember rightly, with Yontif is that yes, you can bring in early except, and then almost every Yontif has an except.
As an exception, well, except, right, well,
like for instance, Pesach,
right.
It says Balayla, so the Pesach.
There's only a couple of cases we could talk about, right. So some people mistakenly think there is no concept, but as we'll see, fundamentally there'll be no difference, it's just pragmatic. So what is the source in the Gemara for Tosefes? So actually the Gemara talks about it explicitly in one case, and that is Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. That is adding to the day of Yom Kippur. And as the Gemara points out, adding on both ends, starting it early and ending it late. The Gemara goes through a pasuk and it says you fast on the 9th of Tishrei, and what we know is the 10th. The Gemara goes back and forth and concludes, from here we learn out of the mitzvah of being Mosef Mechol al HaKodesh, the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, that we add and we started early. And the Gemara also says, which we'll see as a discussion, the Gemara throws in at the end, and also there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontif. But the main, we'll see, that'll be a point of contention, but the main limit is from Tosefes Yom HaKippurim that they learn out. There's a mitzvah.
So the assumption of Tosefes arises in relation to
Yom Kippur. That's your right. That's
Kippur, and only then later sprints out to Shabbos.
Right. That's, we'll see if it does or not. That's what we'll have a dispute. In fact, the Gemara talks about what happens about, we know eating and drinking on Yom Kippur is a serious penalty of doing malacha. The Gemara raises the issue, could you also be chayiv kares during Tosefes Yom Kippur? Let's say you make Yom Kippur a half an hour earlier before then that actually gets nighttime, sunset. So could you get kares on that? So the Gemara says no. Be etzem hayom hazeh. You only get punished on the actual day of Yom Kippur. You only get the severe penalty. However, so the post can point out, we see clearly that Tosefes Yom HaKippur must be Doraisa, must be biblical, or else what was the question? It was the fact that Gemara entertained that you'd even be Chayiv Kares during this extra time period clearly implies that it's a biblical time period. In fact, if that's unclear, the Gemara in Beya seems to make it clearer. The Gemara in Beya and Daf Lamed talks about there were certain people, women, people, who used to be very lax in bringing in Yom Kippur early. And the Gemara goes in, they used to eat to the last, eat towards the end. They didn't stop with it. And we'll see how long before. So the Gemara once talks about, should we rebuke them or not? Should we, if they're doing something wrong? So we know there's a mitzvah in the Torah to rebuke. Should we give tochacha to these people? The Gemara goes through a whole discussion of a different topic of mutav sheyeshogi, and that is a concept that if you know a person or if you think a person's not going to be listening to you, better that a person violate something b'shogeg, unintentional, than cause that person to violate something intentionally. As the Gemara says elsewhere, just like it's a mitzvah to say something that's going to be listened to, it's a mitzvah not to say anything when you know it won't be listened to. So there's a concept better. So then the Gemara discusses how far does that go? Maybe it only applies to a mitzvah derabanan. Maybe only a rabbinical mitzvah you don't have to tell, but if someone's going to violate a biblical mitzvah, Gemara says no. Even on a biblical mitzvah, so that's the chiddush of the Gemara in Bay. Again, the Gemara is assuming Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is Doraisa. Even on a biblical mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, the mitzvah of mutav that it applies even on to Tosefes Yom Kippur, which is Daraisa. But that's not the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is showing whether it applies to a Daraisa, Darabanan, and while it's talking about it, an example of, we see, of a Daraisa is Tosefes Yom Kippurim. So the point we're bringing up is that we see from here that another implication that it's Daraisa. You had a question? Or?
Yeah, when you were talking about better not to tell them if you know they're not going to listen. So how about in the case where you're warning somebody not to murder someone? Because apparently somebody can't be given capital punishment if they weren't warned in advance about something like that.
But you don't know on the first blush, on the first go-through, if somebody's going to not listen to you.
Well, they may have a reputation. I mean, so that's how you would know. Well, how would you guess that in any case?
Because if you've told him once or you've told him twice,
So the first time there was
the
only
time you were know.
So the first time you were the only witness. And you see him going to murder someone, you warn him not to, he doesn't listen. So you come to the conclusion that he's not going to listen. The next time you've got two witnesses. So maybe you shouldn't say anything because you know he's not going to listen. But then the guy's going to get off because he wasn't warned.
Well, then you killed him.
Well, he gets off from what, though? He gets off from the...
I mean, he gets off from capital punishment because you can't kill him. Not that he's... Right, not that he hasn't... Depending on what Averi is doing, he's still, you know... Could be Kareis or...
I'm figuring murder here. This is
Right. Right, I guess also murder might be easier to justify because trying to save someone's life, so maybe we say you have to try everything.
Right.
In other words, but it's an interesting question, let's say, about Azara, or whatever. I'm saying, you know someone's not going to listen, right, because maybe that's the halacha of Hasra, which isn't exactly the same. Here we're talking about giving rebuke. The Gemara is talking about the principle.
So this only maybe works under
that
sort of situation. Hasra
isn't necessarily a rebuke. I guess it's a form, but Hasra is a halacha in terms of giving an onesh. In other words, the Hasra isn't, I guess, built into the Hasra is kind of like, hopefully the guy will come around and say, if you do this, you're liable to the death penalty and that. Right? It's an interesting question. Right, so a murder, you have an obligation to try to stop someone from killing someone else besides giving them warning.
Right.
So, right.
You know, the essential concept of knowing what's going on in the mind of another person.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely.
You know that they're not going to listen to you implies that you already know that it's of no avail to...
Right, so obviously that's a question. I mean, sometimes the situation is...
Do reform.
No, right, okay, but that's not... But sometimes... You have to go with general principles. Let's say that some situations are more apparent than others. I'm saying is whether, does it mean, in other words, you never know it's right. You never know 100% whether someone's going to do it for certain situations.
Well, I was thinking of the very obvious situation of like people who are just babbling away and paying no attention to you and are distracted by something else. You simply can't get their attention. So under those circumstances, it's clear that there's no point to trying to tell them something. But if the person is literally just sitting there looking like he's attending to whatever you're about to say, but you know that he's unlikely to agree with what you're about to say, but there is a finite chance of it, you would tell him anyway.
Well, it depends. You know, then you get into what... Right. Because the Gemara talks about, the Poskim talk about, someone to say it only applies if it's not something mefurish bekra. Suddenly, which isn't explicitly written in the Chumash. Why? Because the assumption being anything explicitly written in the Chumash, a person knows it's wrong. But those posts can point out today, it's not true. Many people don't know things that are explicitly written in the Chumash. Yeah, that's a further discussion, how far you take it. Of course, right. The ideal is to try to be able to talk the person out. We're just talking about, we're just raising the other side. It's obvious you see someone doing something wrong, you should feel... to try to prevent him from doing it. But we're just saying... But we're saying, we're just pointing out to the other side, there is a concept where you feel you can't be successful, and today we're not well-versed at doing tochacha. In fact, at some posts can talk about you should never be giving tochacha today, because unless you know what you're doing. Most people don't know how to give tochacha, so in general, perhaps that mitzvah doesn't even apply today for most people, because... they're not in a position to be telling other people based on their own life or based on the fact that the Mefarshim points out, based on the Pasuk, sometimes giving tochacha increases the aver. I don't mean because you're doing it intentionally. Sometimes you get more people worked up. They want to even, they'll do it in spite of, they'll dafka do it now just to get, you know, because you told them not to.
So in this case, you bear part
exactly,
of
the... Exactly, you have to be, exactly, that's why it's a mitzvah to keep quiet many times. If you it also depends if, obviously, on your, I mean, clearly depends on your relationship as well. And
right. If it's
if
your
you
wife
have,
or your husband.
Yeah, or not only that, if you have any assets with them, like if you know, you know, in terms of someone who likes you, and you know, and they know you're... The point is, the key is, has to be, you have to know you're, it's for your benefit, I'm saying it, not to get you, you know... It's not against you, you know, it depends on a lot of factors. That's why today, many poskim write, you know, we don't have the order of tochacha anymore, and therefore most cases, right, obviously if it's a parent-child, chinuch and that, but as a general rule, especially in this society, it's not usually taken over too well, giving, telling someone how to do something. How dare you tell me how to bring up my kid, or how dare you tell me this, or how, so, you know, most times that's what the Gemara is talking about. Our society today.
The Gemara was talking about people who basically were on the same level of learning and understanding. I presume.
As?
No, same level as each other, which is a high level. They all knew.
Okay.
They all had the Torah. They all had Torah Shabbat Pass. And today, virtually nobody does. The numbers who have learning, who have understanding, who would be able to vote in the Beit Din... Okay, are vast. I mean, the numbers of those who could do that are very negligible, very small. So that the vast majority of us has very little understanding, very little knowledge or learning. And so if that's where they're coming from, that's fine, because we're not at the level that we can either give it or receive it.
Either way, it's discretionary. That's the point.
Can I ask the idea that... First of all, if somebody does any avera, like, for example, the example you gave, we were talking about a murder, to say, because we're not going to nail you, because we didn't have the right warning, does not mean that they do it with impunity in God's eyes. I mean, there still will be retribution from heaven, won't there?
Absolutely. And certain times even, certain times even, first of all, right now we're talking about at the time when the person's doing it. Obviously, it's a time for education, and of course, no one's condoning the fact that you don't do any, the fact that you don't rebuke the person isn't because you're agreeing with the person, because rebuking is going to make it worse, or not do anything. There's the purpose, the mitzvah of rebuke is to be able to have an impact on the other person. If it's nothing, it's totally independent. Of course we think Avodah Zarah is wrong, the fact that I'm not actually talking up now is because I'm hoping in the big picture, after I get a relationship, I'll be able to teach them about it and why it's wrong. It's an issue of right now. It's a local issue. Right now, a person's eating before Yom Kippur. So, well, there's so many other issues I have to work on. I'm not going to start worrying about him eating Erev Yom Kippur. Let's work on something else. It's a whole process. But no one's condoning. The fact that we say it's better not to rebuke someone has no impact on how severe the sin is or not. Meaning, obviously, the more severe, the better chance there'd be a rebuke. Since we're not capable of rebuking anymore.
Well, for example, in the old days, I understand that one of the most popular spots on Yom Kippur was for people to leave the service and go over to the Chinese restaurant and sit down and have some Chinese food on Yom Kippur at lunch.
Even in Hamilton, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
go on.
Okay.
I thought in the base of Mexico, yeah, go on.
My friend.
In any event, if that were the case, are you saying that, like, for example, a rabbi shouldn't go...
Position himself at the door of the...
strategically. or walk in and just take a look around.
Well, obviously, that's a judgment call of the rabbi of how much he has to know his Baal HaBatim.
Like, he has to know enough water to take a pill and look how they serve.
But, like, how much worse can it get? I mean, they're already sitting there having Chinese food, trade food, on Yom Kippur. Like, how much worse could it be if he walks in and just observes? And then walks out. I mean,
how much worse it would be if they won't show up next to Yom Kippur then?
Oh,
and they'll never come back.
Well, if they're over there eating, they didn't show up much this Yom Kippur either. So.
Well, Yom Kippur's a long day.
Yeah.
You mean you want them to eat under rabbinic supervision?
Okay.
So moving along, back to Tosefet.
Yes.
Yontif. So the Gemara clearly states, Tosefet Yom Kippurim, there's a mitzvah l'host of mechol al kodesh, and it seems to be a mitzvah in our Torah. What about Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontif? What about a regular Shabbos, a Friday night, or a Yontif? Is there a concept also of Tosefes Shabbos or Yontif? So,
if you already have taken it on for yourself, now you have to behave as though you're in it.
That what?
If you take on for yourself Shabbos, then you have to behave as if you're in Shabbos hours, right?
Well, that's the question.
It becomes Shabbos.
That's the question we'll get into. But just even before that, is there a concept? Can you bring in Shabbos early?
Okay.
So the Or Zeruah and the Ra'ah and Brachas write, Tosefes Shabbos is also a Din D'oraisa. Just like even though the Gemara spells it out by Yom Kippur and also then throws in Shabbos and Yontif, according to many Rishonim, the concept of adding on to Shabbos is also a biblical one, just like Yom Kippur. Mm. And why? And the Or Zeruah quotes the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Chav Zayin. It says, Rav Soli Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. It says, the Gemara in Brachas 27, Rav made Shabbos early. He davened Ma'ariv while it was still yet day out. And it also says, Rav also made Kiddush during that time. So the Or Zeruah says, we all know, we read yesterday, the day before, on Shavuot, one of the Aseres HaDibros, Zohar Shom HaShabbos Kokoncho. Remember the Shabbos day and sanctify it. So clearly Kiddush is a mitzvah in our Torah on Shabbos. So the Or Zeruah says, if Rav was able to fulfill a mitzvah in our Torah of Kiddush during a time of Tosefes Shabbos, I'm forced to conclude that Tosefes Shabbos must also be biblical. And that's the opinion of the Or Zeruah and many poskim, that you're permitted to make Kiddush during Tosefes Shabbos, apparently because Tosefes Shabbos is also a mitzvah in HaTorah. So therefore, that's the opinion of the Or Zeruah and many others, that Tosefes Shabbos is also biblical. Tosis, another place where Rabbi Natan writes, said no. Tosefes is only deraisa on Yom Kippur. But on Shabbos and Yontif, it's only an extension of a din d'rabbanan. The real din we're talking about is only Tosefes Yom Kippurim. That's biblical according to everybody. But Shabbos and Yontif, there is a concept, but that is only midrabbanan. You know, so we'll have to explain according to him how come you can make Kiddush then during that time period. But there are those we showed him also, the Mordechai and Megillah, that this time period we had on is only rabbinical. Biblically speaking, Shabbos doesn't begin until whatever time it is. And what we bring in is only a din midrabbanan. And perhaps the Rambam takes it a step further. The Rambam doesn't even recognize the concept of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontif. The only place the Rambam talks about the concept of Tosefes is by Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And by Tosefes Shabbos, he doesn't even mention the concept at all. And he bases it, the Gra says he's based, the Gemara seems to say, the same Gemara by Enuma, extended it to Shabbos and Yontif. How could the Rambam deny the Gemara?
So he just forgot it. He just left it.
That's it.
So the Gra says it's based on the Yerushalmi, which he does follow a lot. The Yerushalmi only mentions Tosefes by Yom HaKippurim. So the Rambam, there's a whole discussion in the Rambam. Some want to say that the Rambam clearly holds that it's not biblical. Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yontif, at best is rabbinical mitzvah according to many interpretations of the Rambam. It's nothing. It doesn't exist. You can't bring in Shabbos early. There is no concept. The only concept is by, that could be why some people don't make Shabbos early. But there is no, in certain interpretations of the Rambam, as he seems to be saying this, there is no concept of Tosefes Shabbos or Tosefes Yontif. In fact, the Magen Mishnah points out, what is the lashon of the Rambam when he talks about making Yom Kippur early? He says, Hitzchia Watsom V'Lishanos. How do you make Tosefes Yom HaKippurim? By beginning to fast. Let's assume the fast begins, whatever, 6 o'clock. So by you beginning to fast at 5:30, that is his example he gives by you doing to... why didn't he say abstain from Malacha? At 5:30, stop turning on lights or stop doing other things. So the Magen Mishnah points out, apparently, the Rambam doesn't hold from this concept of bringing in Malacha early. It doesn't There is no mechanism. If you can't do it, it doesn't exist. It's a din and a fast. In fact, interesting, the only other place the Rambam mentions Tosefes, as you guessed it, by where in the Rambam, the Perish Mishnayis in Tainis, by Tisha B'Av. The only other place he mentions bringing in something early and taking it late is Tisha B'Av. So clearly, the common denominator between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is Eretz Sibur, the fast days. So the Rambam is clearly saying it has nothing to do with Malacha, because he doesn't bring it in by Shabbos, Yontif. The only two places he even entertains the concept of bringing it early is Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So the Magen Mishnah and others point out, the Rambam does not hold from, not even Midrabanan. There is no concept, doesn't exist, of bringing in Shabbos and Yontif early. Aye. What about Rav? Rav didn't know what he was doing. We said the Gemara in Brachas. Rav soli shel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. Rav made Shabbos davened early. So the Rav himself alludes to the answers to both of these questions. So the more, it's an easier, one question is Ma'ariv we have to deal with, and another is Kiddush. So Ma'ariv is much easier to deal with. Why is Ma'ariv less of a problem of davening while it's still light? Because we know there's a famous dispute in the Gemara in Brachas, whether Ma'ariv is mandatory or optional. We paskin, albeit it's not optional for us, but we paskin it is optional. We paskin that Ma'ariv, Tfilas Ariv is Rishus. So Rambam writes, Tfilas Ariv is Rishus, Eim Medaktik in Bizmanam. And not, you don't have to be so careful since it's optional. So therefore the Rambam is not bothered by if you want to dava Ma'ariv early Friday. Big deal, it's a Rishus anyway. What about Kiddush? Kiddush is a mitzvah in our Torah. So how, according to the Rambam, maybe the Rambam says you can't, but if you say the Rambam does, how, according to the Rambam, is it permitted to say Kiddush early? So the Rambam has a tremendous Kiddush. The Rambam writes, the mitzvah of Kiddush isn't to be said on Shabbos. The mitzvah of Kiddush should be said before Shabbos. It shows your eager, your anticipation to praise, and not only that, and that's halacha as well. One is permitted also to say Havdalah before Shabbos is over as well. You can't do malacha before Shabbos is over, but you're allowed to do Havdalah. The Rambam Shita is, it's not a problem. I can make Kiddush before Shabbos begins. As we'll see, obviously, according to the Rambam, saying Kiddush has nothing to do with Malacha anyway, according to the Rambam. As we'll see we'll get into what does Tosefes Shabbos entail in a second. But the Rambam himself writes, since you're supposed to bring in Shabbos with praise and everything else, Shevach v'Hodah, the Shita of Rambam is, the mitzvah is to make Kiddush before Shabbos. And the Minchas Chinuch points out, you can't make it at 10 o'clock in the morning, it has to be after Plag HaMincha, after an hour and a quarter before sunset. That changes on the day. It's not a 60-minute hour, but in the summer months, if you have 15 hours in the day, so obviously it's more than 60 minutes in an hour. So whatever the time, so this week it's about in between 7:15 and 7:30. That would be Plag HaMincha. That would be the earliest time for us, anyone, to bring in Shabbos early. But the Rama would say that's considered Samach LeShabbos. Any time after Plag HaMincha. So how could the Rambam, if the Rambam doesn't hold from Tosefta Shabbos, how could we daven? Daven is not a problem, it's only a Rishus. And even Kiddush isn't a problem, because the Rambam holds, we'll see, it's a major machlokes Rambam and Rambam, what the nature of the mitzvah of Kiddush is, but the Rambam saying, the mitzvah of Kiddush is to pray Shabbos and bring it in, we eagerly anticipate, and we talk about the greatness of the day. And in fact, that's what they point out, the Tosefta HaRosh points out, it says, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kodcho. But it doesn't say Zachar b'Yom HaShabbos. It doesn't say remember it on the Shabbos day. As we'll see, some in fact point out that distinction, as we'll get to, if you make Shabbos early, so we establish Kiddush you can make early, even according to the Rambam. What about eating the meal early? Maybe the Suda has to be on Shabbos, because it says Ichu HaYom Ki Shabbos, because the source of learning out the three meals is by the Mun, and it says specifically on that day. So we'll see, we'll get into, there'll be a discussion. Even those who say you can make Kiddush early, perhaps one has to have the meal, at least doesn't have to begin, but it has to continue until the nighttime hours, as we'll get into. But that's the Shita HaRambam. So again, so everyone agrees, Tosefet Yom HaKippurim is biblical. That's not a discussion. And the Rambam extends it even to Tisha B'Av. Maybe only Midrabanim, but he extends the concept to Tisha B'Av. According to the Or Zeruah, the Ra'ah, and others, no, there's no difference. Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yontif, it's all Daraisa. And others make a distinction. Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is Daraisa, but Shabbos and Yontif is Darabanan. So no one makes a distinction between Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontif. They go hand in hand. The distinction would be Yom Kippur versus Shabbos and Yontif. So those who say Daraisa throughout, others say, no, just Yom HaKippurim is Daraisa, but Tosefes Shabbos and Yontif is only Darabanan. And perhaps the Rambam Shita, there is no concept of Tosefes Shabbos or Tosefes Yontif. The only concept of bringing in early is only a fast day, is Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur.
As soon as you use the rationale that the early Kiddush is, as you said, in praise of God for Shabbos, or in praise of Shabbos.
By the uniqueness of the day, you go out.
Okay. So, as soon as you then, I saw you, I was waiting for you to slip in the how much ahead you could do it, and you did that nice and quick, and it sort of went in. But as soon as you go and have to describe that time period, how much ahead you can do it,
right,
you have to have a rationale, don't you?
Right. The Plaga Mincha.
Why do you pull it at Plaga Mincha?
Yeah, so it's a good question. We pull out Plaga Mincha because that's... The Gemara already addresses that issue in terms of Mincha and Ma'ariv. In other words, Ma'ariv we usually associate evening prayer with nighttime. So there's a discussion in the Gemara and Brachas as well, how late, it goes hand in hand, how late could you pray Mincha, and then also then how early could I start davening Ma'ariv? So the Chachamim say you have until sunset to daven Mincha, and once you wait until the three stars come out to daven Ma'ariv. Rabbi Yehuda, or at least until after sunset anyway. Ideally to the three stars, already after sunset is no longer day anymore. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is no. You could daven Mincha only up until Plag HaMincha. Again, so let's say now a 6 to 6 day, so 4:45 would be Plag HaMincha. The last time you could daven Mincha is 4:45. And after 4:45, you can no longer daven Mincha, you have to daven Ma'ariv. So already, the Gemara uses it already in terms of Ma'ariv, in terms of that. So we see already, it's considered night for certain halachas already. That's why it's a Plaga Mincha. And in fact, someone would say that's, because it's, but Yaakov Avinu, when he daven Ma'ariv, that's what happened, the sun set early. In other words, Vayifka, Hashemes, it was really daytime. But the sun set because God wants them to stay over there at Hara Maria. But either way, we find other good, but that's the cutoff point. We find it by Ma'ariv and we find it by Shabbos. That's considered Samach, it's like what they call, I think the Miri calls Srach Laila. It's the beginning already, the beginning of the night. Maybe the sun's starting to go down, I'm not sure the physical aspect, but that's considered, that's why twilight's after sunset, but it's not really going down yet, but already, it's reached a point where already, it's the beginning, it's still halakhically day, but the beginnings of, so there is a period of Plag, everyone agrees before Plag HaMincha, it's Vada Yom, and there's nothing to talk about. After Plag HaMincha already, then there's some elements of Laila, but it's not Vada Laila until the three, so the different phases. It begins with Plag HaMincha, then sunset's already one stage, and then when it really becomes nighttime is when the three stars come out.
Plag precedes Shkia, doesn't it?
That is correct.
Okay, so how come we paskin that we're okay up to Shkia?
We're okay with what?
Mincha.
We don't.
Right. So therefore we accept because that's what the
waiting for.
No, so that's what the Gemara says. Ovid Kamar. Who do we paskin like? So the Gemara says, you can pick who you want. Either you could follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, or you could, so that's the whole discussion. What do you mean pick? Is it a one-time shot when you become Bar Mitzvah? Okay, you have a tough decision now. Whatever you decide now, or whatever, that's what some say. Others say, no, at least in the same day you should be consistent. Because the issue comes up every Friday night. It's important to have Plaga Mincha 7:15. So it's important to try to finish davening Mincha before 7:15. Because if you're making early minyan and you're not starting Mincha to 7:15, you can end up davening Mincha after Plag HaMincha, which is already too late for Rabbi Yehuda, and then we're going to have a Ma'ariv before sunset, which is too early for the Chachamim. So it's what they call a Tarte de Sastre. That's a contradiction. You can't pick and choose. I guess that's a discussion. If the choice is the only time you can have a minion is doing so that you get in, that's a later discussion. It's better to daven home alone in its proper time or daven with the minion at the contradiction. So that's a further machlokas. But ideally, if one could control it, one should try to get the minion where you daven mincha before plag hamincha and ma'ariv after.
I remember sometimes when we used to stop davening and have a long gap between the
Ma'ariv. You mean on Friday night? What do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah, you stopped and waited?
Not on Friday night. No, it wasn't Friday night.
No, during the week it was done. Yeah.
Hmm?
Little talk.
Yeah, that still happens now. The goal is to make it after Shkia.
I'm concerned with the Shkia.
Because at least you want to get Ma'ariv in after Shkia, so at least speak until sunset.
Anyway, it's all explained in the handbook, which you were all given when you joined the show.
the joiner's handbook.
Yes, right.
The question I have is, what you're talking about now is that you're still talking about a concept that maybe the time in which Shabbos actually starts could be dragged back because of this concept of Hanukkah. It could be dragged back to that.
Yeah, early. Yeah.
Okay. So the question is, if I'm using the rationale that I'm only doing the Kiddush in order to praise Shabbos, then there should be nothing from me to start and do that at 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I'm simply praising this Shabbos and it's coming.
But the mitzvah is to do that. But it's Zachar Shema Shabbos Ukacho. We assume Pashas you have to do it on Shabbos. That's the Rambam's Kiddush. Even according to the Rambam himself agrees it has to be Samach L'Shabbos. So what's the halachic definition of Samach? Right, the same way is we could bring in, it's not just Akash on the Rambam, the same way even those who say you could bring in early Shabbos, everyone agrees you can't bring it in at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's not, one. You could do it all you want, it wouldn't help. The earliest time the mechanism can even begin to work is after, because it's Plag HaMincha, it's already Srach Laila, is what to talk about. That's the halachic cutoff point. How do we fulfill this mitzvah of adding to Shabbos? Could I just merely do nothing? Like, what do you mean? I come, let's say, in general today it's a problem. It used to be, as the words indicate, Kabbalah Shabbos, that you're supposed to daven Kabbalah Shabbos before Shabbos. It was said when they went out to the fields and you accept it. Today we're lucky to get Minchin before sunset. Forget about Kabbalah Shabbos. But in an ideal world, one is supposed to finish Kabbalah Shabbos and then take, at the end, either L'chol Dodi, Mizmor Shir, that's supposed to be a Kabbalah Shabbos before sunset, or else, if it's after sunset, it's too late to make a Kabbalah, it's already Shabbos already. So how does it work? Could one merely just show up, let's say, I'm sitting, I'm 5 minutes before, let's say Shabbos is 8 o'clock, okay, 5:10, I'm just gonna sit here and do nothing, and that's my Kabbalah. Is merely being passive and not doing anything, meaning abstaining from malacha, is that enough? Is that considered a Kabbalah Shabbos? Is that considered a Kabbalah and acceptance? Well, no, it's not enough. I have to actually be active. I have to either daven, start daven, have to say Hareini Mekabel Shabbos, so I have to, for a woman lighting candles, I have to actually do something, or does it come by itself? So.
And also, do you have to have intent?
Right, very good. Right. In fact, I'll get to that in a second. Right. So the Ritva writes in Rosh Hashanah, merely abstaining from malach is a no-go. You have to actually, if you're a woman or a man, you have to actually light candles, start davening, make kiddush. You have to actually do something to, clearly Tosfos disagrees with that. How do I know? Because what we started off this year with, because Tosfos over there, in the Gemara in Yuma, Gemara in Beya, about people who were not meticulous in stop doing malacha before Yom Kippur. So Tosfos says, what does that mean? Let's assume Yom Kippur was 6 o'clock. Even if you're not going to add to Yom Kippur, no one waited to 5:59 and 30 seconds to stop eating. Clearly, even those people, they stopped at 5:58. No one went to the last second risking eating on Yom Kippur. So obviously, even those people who are meticulous clearly stopped a minute or two before, and yet, so Tosfos writes, we see there's a certain shear that has to be. Tosfos says, we see, that clearly a 1 minute time frame isn't considered enough, because that was what's wrong. Obviously, Tosis is assuming they stopped 5:59, but Tosis is assuming apparently we see that's not a big enough time. Tosis isn't clear how long the time period is, one has to bring it in, but he's just assuming a minute's not enough, or 2 minutes. The Ritva seems to disagree. He says that's a discussion where you have to actively do something. As the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, it's preferable that one should verbalize it, like we do on Erev Yom Kippur. If you get to shul early and you say the Tefillah Zaka, at the end of the Tefillah Zaka, you say, Hareini Mekabel Alav Kedushas Yom HaKippur. So it's preferable, we assume, one should verbalize this acceptance. But if not, we assume it works automatically. We assume also, though, there's different... To bring it in a half an hour early, yeah, you have to do something. But at a certain stage, it kicks in automatically. Even if you do nothing a minute before, that automatically kicks in. And in fact, what you said, someone said about Kavana, that's why it's important that when a woman lights candles, besides fulfilling the mitzvah of Hadlachas Neiros, or if a man lights candles, she should have in mind that she's also doing the mitzvah. This could be a bigger... Hadlachas Neiros is probably only a mitzvah midrabanan, or midivrei Kabbalah. Tosefes Shabbos, according to many, are a mitzvah deraisa. So a woman lights candles, she should have in mind she's fulfilling the mitzvah in HaTorah of Tosefes Shabbos. As we pass the mitzvah striches kavana by a mitzvah min HaTorah, therefore it's important that a woman or a man keep in mind that when they take in Shabbos early, they have in mind they know what they're doing. Because in order to fulfill your mitzvah deraisa of Tosefes Shabbos, if we assume like the Magen Avraham Paskins, it is a mitzvah deraisa, One has to have in mind that they know what you're doing. So according to the Ritva, any time is a go. However, you must actively do it. According to Tosis, it seems that it applies automatically, except it has to be an earlier time. It can't, a minute or two before isn't early enough. So our minute is, you know, that's why our minute today is, we lie like 18 minutes. The minute in America, North America, on the calendars, they usually have 18 minutes before sunset. That's the minig of Tosefes Shabbos. In Yerushalayim, the sum of 20, a half an hour, different customs. The point being, one should take in Shabbos or Yontov, you know, according to fulfill the mitzvah according to Tosefes, a significant, meaning not 2 hours, that's 2 hours, but you know, hour, we assume 15, 18 minutes before, when if possible, to try to take in... One should take it in. There's another reason also. One should be careful, especially Friday afternoon, to daven. See, if you're making early Shabbos, it's not an issue. But if you're making the regular Shabbos, or later Shabbos, so there's also another problem of the Yerushalmi writes about davening a tefillah chol on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi writes it's a prohibition to daven a weekday Shabbos, a weekday Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos. So therefore, one has to be careful. You know, many times you come to shul, it's after Shkia, so you're violating that according to, you know, so we assume Iker Adin, we don't pass like this, we pass like Tosis and it's still okay, but one should be careful to try to get Mincha in. So let's say, not only that, but also what the post can recommend is if you finish Mincha and you see by the time the shul is, it's before sunset, and the time the shul is going to get to Kabbalah Shabbos, L'chol Dodi, it's going to be after sunset, right after one finishes Shmoneh Esrei, it's silent Shmoneh Esrei, because one should daven mincha first, because it's a problem davening mincha after you already accepted Shabbos, because it's a contradiction if you get into what Tosefes Shabbos means. But one should always try to daven mincha before Tosefes Shabbos. But right after you daven mincha, one should make their own verbal announcement: "I am taking in Shabbos." Now, don't wait for the tzibur, because the time they get to it, it'll be well after sunset already. So that's what they recommend. And since we assume it's a mitzvah in the Torah, one has to have in mind to fulfill that mitzvah. So we'll have to continue, but we have to get into the whole, some very interesting questions come along, and what is the nature of the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos? What does that mean, I take it in? Does it actually take on a full-fledged Shabbos? Like, or no, maybe for certain halachas it applies, but can I still do malacha? Can I tell Henry to do something for me? Can I still do other things? What exactly is the Geder Hadin? What is the nature of this mitzvah? What character does it take on? And we'll see many interesting practices.
I said with Rabbi Dunny once, if I want to drive to shul, And I'm going to be driving before Shabbos actually begins, but I want to light Shabbos candles because there's nobody home to light them.
Right.
Can I light them? And if I light them, should I say a bracha?
Right, so that's your Moshe Feinstein as a tshuva on that.
He told me to light them, say a bracha, and drive to shul.
Right, but that's...
Does that fit into any of this?
Yeah, well, it doesn't fit in enough because I didn't get into that part about...
Well, where you're heading.
We'll fit into that. Yeah, I'm saying it gets into whether Hadlachas Neiros is considered an acceptance of Shabbos or not, right?
He basically told me that you don't take on Shabbos,
right.
Otherwise how could you get in your car?
No, exactly, that's basically Rav Moshe, right?
You could still say a bracha with
that. Yeah, but that's the point we're making is, and that's like the Rambam, like the system with the Rambam sheet, the making Kiddush has nothing to do with taking, so Hadlachas Neiros.
Right.
It's a machloka, that's the way we assume, unless for a woman it might be different. For a woman, she might have to have a woman usually accepts Shabbos through Kirna, she'll have to have negative kavanah saying, I am not.
Right.
For a man, it's neutral. The assumption is that he's not accepting Shabbos. That's where Rav Moshe writes. The problem for you would be is taking an early Shabbos, and then when the time you leave your home, it's before Plag HaMincha.
Then you can't.
No, right.
Well, maybe you could always light candles, but you couldn't say a
But we'll see. That's a major discussion, yeah.
Right.
No, right.